the Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Jimmy Shields, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Anything Goes. Do you have Venetian blinds at your windows? If you do, you'll be interested in a letter we've just received from a prominent Venetian blind manufacturer. Here's what it says. Many times we're asked to advise the best method of preserving wood slat Venetian blinds. Not a week goes by that we do not recommend finishing them with genuine Johnson's wax. This makes the slats come out bright and shiny, gives them protection and beauty that will last an indefinite period. If you do have Venetian blinds, take the advice of this manufacturer and protect them with a shining coat of Johnson's wax. In fact, it's good housekeeping practice to Johnson wax many other articles in your home. Wax your floors and you need never scrub them again. Floors grow more beautiful with every application of Johnson's wax. Wax your tabletops and all your furniture. Wax your woodwork, windowsills, your shoes and luggage, your parchment lampshades. There are 100 extra uses for genuine Johnson's wax listed on the package. They will save you work and make your home more beautiful. Appearances are certainly deceiving. Imagine two people sitting across from each other at the dining table calling each other names with absolutely no hard feelings. Such is the scene tonight at 79 Wistful Vista as calling names to each other for their Christmas shopping list, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Harlow Wilcox.
Harlow Wilcox.
Jimmy Shields.
Jimmy Shields.
And, Oh, yes, your Uncle Dennis. What are we going to get Uncle Dennis?
Oh, dear, I don't know.
Oh, what does he like to do? What's his favorite sport?
Never mind that. He's got a cocktail shaker.
Oh.
How about Billy Mills?
Oh, I got a great idea for him. Have you noticed that little stick that he leads the band with?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Kind of pathetic, ain't it?
Huh?
A band leader of his standing trying to control all them wolves with practically a twig.
Well, I never thought of that, did
you? Well, I have. I'm going to get him a stick about 6 feet long and 2 inches thick so he can really reach out and wham them windjammers.
Say, Fibber.
Yes, Harlow?
Have you got a good set of golf clubs?
Why, no, I haven't, Harlow. Why?
Oh, I just wanted to know.
Ooh,
thanks,
gee.
Pal.
Well, I wonder if he's going to give you some golf clubs for Christmas, dearie.
Gee, what is that? By the way, what did you want, Molly?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, sure.
Oh, please forget me.
Oh, no, I don't want to.
Just
do
give me a handkerchief or something.
Oh, no, no.
Anyway, we couldn't afford it.
Afford what?
Oh, that diamond wristwatch I saw in the jewelry store window the other night.
Now, listen, Molly, if that's really what you want, I'll work my knuckles.
Oh, no, McGee. Please.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
No, sir.
The idea.
Well, okay. Probably sold it by this time, anyway.
Oh, no, he hasn't. He said he'd hold it till Christmas.
Come in, thank goodness.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. How are you, Fibber?
Do you really care, Gildersleeve?
Well, frankly, no, not a bit.
What can we do for you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, if it isn't asking too much, Mrs. McGee, I'd like to have my snow shovel back, the one your husband borrowed last March.
Oh, better give it back to him, dearie.
I can't do it.
Why?
It's busted.
But it is, eh? Just what I might have expected. I'll have to ask you to pay for that shovel, McGee.
Oh, you will. Look at the scar on my wrist, Gildersleeve.
What?
You're responsible for that. lending me a shovel with a defective handle.
Yeah.
Getting them splinters out cost me $8.50 in doctor bills.
Well, that's too bad, McGee, but that shovel cost me $4.98 wholesale.
And $4.98 from $8.50 is exactly $3.52 that you owe us.
Yeah.
Sir. You hear that, Gildersleeve? And on top of that, there was bandages. Mental anguish.
Sure.
And loss of a week's work.
Right.
Counting the value of my time at $200 a week, plus $1 worth of bandages, and, say, $50 for breach of health. That's $254.52. Now, what are you going to do about that?
McGee, you can't do this to me.
Oh, I can't, eh? I'll take this up to the United States Supreme Court. That's where I'll take it up to.
Now, look here, McGee. I'm a reasonable man.
Well?
Suppose I give you $5 and we'll call it square.
$20.
Ten.
15.
25.
30.
35.
40.
Wait a minute. You're both bidding against me.
Well, then, speak up, Gildersleeve. Speak up. Move in there and protect yourself. 45.
50.
Sold for $50 to the gentleman with the busted shovel.
I still think I'm being taken advantage of. Well, I'll send you a check in the morning, McGee.
Say, Fibber, have you got a good pair of skis?
Why, no, I haven't, Harlow.
You haven't? Okay, thanks.
What is it? Maybe he decided not to give me golf clubs for Christmas. What was we saying, Gildersleeve?
Skis. No. I was just remarking, McGee, about how you talked me out of $50.
Nothing to it. It's like eating lettuce.
You certainly drive a hard bargain.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That gives me an idea.
It does?
As you know, I'm manager of the Bon-Ton department store.
Sure.
And the way you talk me out of $50 makes me think that you're just the man I need for our adjustment department.
Oh.
Adjustment department?
That's right. I'll pay you $40 a week and a discount on purchases.
We'll take it.
Molly, please. Don't ever snap at a job like that there. It shows you're too anxious. Let's find out more about this thing before we make any...
Well, never mind, then. I just want...
I'll take it, Gildersleeve. Now that I've had time to think it over, when do I start?
Right away, McGee. Get right down there. Wait a moment. I'll call them and tell them you're coming.
Oh.
May I use your telephone?
Sure. Here you are, Gildersleeve.
Thank you. Hello, operator. Give me the Bon-Ton department store. Oh, is that you, Mert? How's every little thing, Mert?
Hey. Cut that out, Gildersleeve.
Quiet. What's say, Myrtle? A busy signal? Yes, all right. I'll call them later. Well, you get downtown right away, McGee. I'll be waiting for you in my office.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Come on, McGee, get your hat. Where are you going?
Down in the basement and ease my conscience.
What do you mean?
Well, I got to play fair with Gildersleeve. I'm going down and bust his snow shovel.
Yes, it is, McGee.
My, very pleasant.
Yeah.
That picture of the seven dwarfs lends such an air of charm.
Yeah.
That, Mrs. McGee, is not the seven dwarfs.
No?
That's a photograph of our board of directors.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'd have swore that was Dopey on the end there.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's me, McGee. Now, look, you know what your duties are?
Oh, yes, Mr. Gildersleeve. All we do is adjust the claims of dissatisfied customers.
That's it, exactly. And remember our motto, the customer is always right. And if you run into difficulty, just call on me, McGee.
Okay, Gildersleeve, and the same goes for you. If you want any advice on advertising or merchandising, sales promotion, or any old stuff like that there, our door is always open. Just drop in any time and we'll be on the road. You know, this is the kind of a job I've always wanted, Molly, where I can really use my tact and diplomacy.
Well, you certainly have plenty of that, McGee.
Huh?
None of it's ever been used.
Oh, look, Molly. Now, you sit on that side of the desk, and I'll sit on this side.
All right.
Say, Fibber.
Oh, it's you again, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes. Say, have you folks got a good cabinet radio?
Why, no, we haven't, Harlow.
Okay, pal, I just wanted to know.
He's having a terrible time deciding what to give you for Christmas, McGee.
I'll say it, but I suppose he feels he ought to do some checking up before he comes to a decision. Like the centipede that got the hot foot.
Uh-oh, here's our first adjustment, dearie. And remember, the customer's always right.
I know. Come in.
Ah, there, my dear. And good day to you, drip pan.
Hi, Boomer.
I seem to be in the wrong office, looking for the adjustment department.
Well, this is it, Mr. Boomer.
I'm the adjuster, Boomer.
Oh, yes, I was afraid of that.
Okay, come on, Boomer, what's on your mind?
I have here a large emerald necklace from your jewelry counter that I'm not quite satisfied with. Seems to be a flaw in the string. I'd like to have my money back. $26,000, I believe, was the amount.
Oh, heavenly day.
$26,000?
I'll take it in small bills. Have to get a shoe shine on the way home.
Boomer, there's something fishy about this. Let's see your sales slip.
Why, certainly. I have the sales slip right here. And now, where did I put that sales slip?
Oh, dear.
Let's see. Here's a snapshot of my nephew, Wyandotte Boomer. Splendid name for the lad. Wyandotte. Feathered brain, chicken-hearted, foul mouth, and a clucking general. Ah, what's this? Oh, yes. A wallet I found in a passing hip pocket. Clumsy fellow. He should never have tried to carry the pigskin around the end zone. Letter from some hobo pals of mine in upper New York. Bums along the Mohawk. here, newspaper clipping. Seems that my old pal Inky Blotz just escaped from Sing Sing. Good old Inky, always leaking out of some pen. A small pocket comb, going in the cloakroom after a while and comb some pockets. A check for a short beer. Well, imagine that. No sales slip. Must have slipped out of my pocket while I was calling out from under the counter.
My, what a crook.
Pretty consistent guy, though. I seen a baby picture of him shaking his little fist through the bars of his crib when the nurse wanted to powder him.
Really?
Yeah, and the caption was, "Oh, so you won't talk, eh?" Wow.
Say, Fibber and Molly, have you got a nice coffee table?
Why, yes, we have, Mr. Wilcox.
Listen here, Harlow. Shucks, you're going to too much trouble for just us. Let's just make this a simple Christmas.
What do you mean?
Oh, you aren't fooling us the way you've been bursting in asking us if we have a nice radio or a coffee table.
Or golf clubs or skis.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was just trying to find out how much Johnson's Wax to give you for Christmas.
Huh?
What?
Why, sure. You see, all those things, radio cabinets, skis, coffee tables, golf clubs, they should all be polished and protected with Johnson's Wax. It's really marvelous to seal the surface of things against scratches and wear.
Well, I'll be a rude expression.
So, you see, I'm giving all you folks on the show a big can of Johnson's Wax for Christmas.
Oh, that's a grand idea, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes, sir. On the surface, I'd say that Johnson's Wax was the best possible gift. Well, so long, folks.
That guy's so enthusiastic about our product, he sent a sales letter to Albert Einstein asking him to try Johnson's Wax on his multiplication table.
Dear, dear.
Come in.
Oh, hello there, little girl.
Hi, Mr.
You looking for somebody?
Sure.
Who?
Hmm?
Who?
Hmm?
Who are you looking for?
Santa Claus, I betcha.
Oh, Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, Molly. She came all the way down here by herself to see Santa Claus.
Well, now, McGee, why don't you take her over to see Santa?
I'll just do that. I'll get a kick out of it myself. Come on, sis.
All right.
Take a hold of my hand. That's it. We'll be back in a few minutes, Molly.
All right, McGee.
Girl. Right over this way, sis. I'll introduce you to Santa Claus myself.
Okay, mister.
I'll bet it'll be a great Christmas at your house this year. You going to hang up your stocking?
No.
Huh?
Hmm?
You ain't going to hang up your stockings? Why not?
It's bad luck, I betcha.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm afraid you're mistaken there, sis.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, lady.
Oh, but...
Let us through there, please. Thanks. Now, look, sis, why is hanging up your stocking bad luck?
Well, it was for Uncle Charlie.
How come? They fall off the mantelpiece into the fireplace?
Well, they weren't on the mantelpiece. They were on a tree.
On a tree?
Sure. And Uncle Charlie was in them. You know, they say he never got over it, too, I betcha.
I see.
Oh, looky. There's Santa Claus right now.
Sure he is. Now, don't be afraid of him, sir.
Okay.
You walk right up to him and tell him what you want for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Don't be bashful. Hi there, Santa Claus.
Hello there.
Here's a little girl that wants to speak to you, Santa.
All right. Well, what is it, my dear?
Go ahead, sis. Come on, speak up.
Oh, gee, I don't want you to hear me, mister.
Huh? Oh, I get it. Okay, sis, I won't listen. Now, you go ahead and talk to Santa Claus.
Well, my dear?
I didn't want to say anything in front of that man because it might spoil Christmas for him, but Mama said for you to eat downtown today because you're going to the bridge club. Go on, now.
Folks, Jimmy Shields sings, "A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody." Take it, Jim.
I have an ear for music, and I have an eye for a maid. I like a pretty girlie with each pretty tune that plays. They go together like sunny weather, both with the months of May. I've studied girls and music, oh, I'm qualified. A pretty girl
and see you.
Oh.
She says she's got something in the store she doesn't like.
Okay, I'll take care of it. Yes, ma'am?
My name is Mrs. Patricia Goldfield, and I live 1617 Finkle Arms Apartment Hotel.
You say you got something at this store you didn't like?
Yes, I did.
What department?
Home furnishing.
What was the article?
My husband. See, when I got him, he was a floor walker.
Well, I'm afraid we can't make any adjustments on that.
Oh, remember, McGee, the customer is always right.
Huh?
What do you want us to do about it, dearie?
Yeah.
Well, I want to exchange him for the manager of the ready-to-wear.
Okay, sis, we'll have the driver pick up your husband in the morning. When you wrap him up, be sure and enclose your marriage license, or your sales slip.
All right, thank you very much.
All the dead-red silly things to want us to exchange, I think.
McGee, remember our motto, the customer's always right.
Well, they ought to change it.
To what?
To many happy returns of the stuff.
Ho there, Johnny! Ho, daughter! Is this the adjustment department?
Why, yes, it is, Mr. Oldtimer.
Good. I bought a radio here the other day, and while I was putting the aerial up, I fell off of the roof. Sprained my back.
Well, that's too bad, old-timer, but what are we supposed to do about it?
Adjust it.
Huh?
I think it's this bird of zebra right here, Johnny.
Well, I'm sorry, but you better see a doctor about that.
You should have been more careful anyway, old-timer. With all these new built-in antennas, you might have known the aerial business was falling off. What?
That's pretty good, Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, says, I see where the next issue of Liberty Magazine is printing an article about them radio comedians, Cribber McGee and Molly. Is that so, says t'other feller? Never heard them. They any good? Not at the start, says the first feller, but the last half hour picks up pretty fast when that Bob Hope feller comes in. Johnny, if you can't adjust my back for me, I'll have to... Whoop! Oh, there goes that bird of zebra again. Well, better go see a chiropodist.
That old flub bucket. I suppose he thinks I'm impressed because I got my name in a magazine. Shucks, I probably won't even read it.
Well, then why did you order 50 copies from the boy at the newsstand?
Not that, huh? Shucks, I thought they'd make nice Christmas presents.
Adjustment department. Oh, very well. Send her right up and we'll talk to her. All right. They're sending a lady up with a complaint, dearie.
What kind of a complaint?
She's dissatisfied with some red flannel underwear she bought here.
Red flannel underwear? Okay, I'll talk to her in a minute. In the meantime, I'm going on out and get a drink of water.
Now, let me see. A man at 1414 Oak Street complains that the electric train he bought for his little boy is too easy to operate. The lad runs it while his father's at the office. And now let's see. The lady's coming in about the red flannel underwear. Oh, must be her now. Come in.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? Have a chair.
Oh, that's what I stopped in to complain about, Mrs. McGee. I bought some dining room chairs here that simply will not do.
Oh, dining room chairs. Why, we thought that...
Oh, how do you do, Miss McGee?
Oh, hi, Uppy. Uppy with red flannel underwear. Oh, well. Well, I understand you got a complaint about some stuff you bought here. What's the matter with them?
Well, they're horribly uncomfortable in the first place.
I can believe that. I used to have some myself. The arms and legs are awful stiff.
Oh, McGee, I don't think you mean the same...
But really, my dear, he is absolutely right. Why, one can hardly sit in them for 5 minutes without squirming.
I'll say they can't. They ain't much to look at either, Uppy.
McGee, please, now, she doesn't...
Mr. McGee is perfectly correct, my dear.
Yes, sir.
And what's more, they're extremely unsightly in the dining room.
Oh.
Why, I had guests for dinner last night, and they were most uncomplimentary about them.
That was getting kind of personal, wasn't it, Uppy? But, shucks, we'll be glad to exchange them for you. What style would you rather have?
Now, look, Mickey.
I think I should exchange them for some with leather feet.
Leather seats, huh? Well, I don't know, Uppy. Of course, they'd wear much longer, but washing them might be a bit of a problem.
Oh, no, no, no. They can easily be sponged off. What kind do you have yourself, Miss McGee?
Well, mine are white, Uppy.
Oh, really? My, how smart. antique?
Oh, yeah, kind of, but they'll see me through another winter. Only trouble is the buttons keep coming off the older they get.
Say, McGee, for the last time, I'd like to explain...
No, it's all right, Mrs. McGee. I quite understand. The buttons do come off. I don't think the factory nails them on properly in the first place.
Nails them on? Who ever heard of nails in a suit of red flannel?
Red flannel?
Red flannel.
Red? Mr. McGee.
Huh?
Well, I must say I have never been quite so insulted in all my life.
Huh?
I shall certainly report your insolence to the manager. Good day, sir. Red flannel. Wait.
She's getting so huffy about
now. I kept trying to tell you, McGee. She was complaining about some dining room chairs she bought.
Oh, dining room chairs.
Sure.
I thought she was the one about the red glass.
Listen here, McGee.
Oh, hi, Gildersleeve. Say, we're doing a great job for you here. I bet you never had a guy in here before.
Be quiet, McGee. Did you just insult Mrs. Abigail Uppington?
Well, I wouldn't say I insulted her, Gildy. We just had a slight misunderstanding.
Oh, misunderstanding, you call it, when you joke with a prominent society woman of this city about wearing red, I won't say it.
Red flannel.
Thank you. McGee, what did I tell you was the motto of this department?
The customer is always right.
And when?
Always.
Exactly.
You betcha.
The customer is always right.
That's right.
Mrs. Uppington is the customer.
Oh, sure she is.
And she says you should be fired.
Why, sure I should.
Uh-huh.
Good day.
Oh, sure.
Tim and Molly will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, can't you remember the days when your mother scrubbed her kitchen floor on hands and knees and then spread old newspapers down to protect the linoleum? Even with the newspapers, the floor soon got scuffed up again. And with the hardest scrubbing, it never really looked bright and fresh. Well, now in these days of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, all that scrubbing seems terribly old-fashioned. Not only that, but continuous scrubbing is very harmful. First, the colors fade and the floor looks dull. Then the linoleum becomes water-soaked. Bumps and cracks appear and the surface splits. After that, you have to buy new linoleum. But with Johnson's Glow Coat, it's quite another story. There's practically no work, no rubbing or buffing at all. You simply apply Glow Coat, let it dry, and behold your floor shining with a new beauty. The colors gay and bright. The floor protected with a long-lasting, beautiful polish. Linoleum manufacturers themselves advise against scrubbing. Housekeeping institutes do, too. They recommend this safe, easy method, the Glow Coat self-polishing method.
I'm sorry, folks, but our time is up. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine with Johnson, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night at this same time. Good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.